matter, but apart from that, excellent.
Oh, shall
there we go. Not many sermons start with a quote from Blackadder. But Blackadder said, well, it started badly, tailed off a little in the middle, and the less said about the end, the better. Hopefully you don't need me to tell you that the Christian life shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't start badly, tail off a little in the middle, and the less said about the end, the better. And the book of Hebrews is written to counteract that kind of thinking. The book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, is written to encourage us to keep going, and all the more so as we go through life and as we progress and as we head towards our end in glory. And the Christian life is described in the Bible as a race, as a fight, as a struggle of something to pursue. We're to flee away from sin, we're to go towards Christ. And as we come to Hebrews 12, we pick up on many of those thoughts. Last time I was with you, which was the last Sunday service before lockdown began, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, what you might term the heroes of the faith. And then we're going to look at chapter 12 this morning. Don't worry if you don't remember any of that, nor do I. So we're going to look at Hebrews 12. And we have three things I want to look at this morning. I want to look at running with endurance. I want to look at considering Christ. And I want to look at persistently pursuing. Running with endurance, considering Christ, and persistently pursuing. So running with endurance. The writer wants us to understand that in the Christian life, there is no other option apart from running with endurance. And this might strike us as rather blunt. Really, we're to run with endurance. If you're anything like me, I'm not very good at running. I tend to avoid it as much as I possibly can. And now I'm reaching the age I am, I tend not to run at all. It's hard. And running with endurance is even harder. And in the Christian life, that's hard. It's hard to endure and it's hard to keep going. But the writer wants us to do that. He wants us to understand the necessity of that. He set before us in chapter 11 the outworking of what faith is, about laying hold of what we have in I'm reaching towards the screen. That's a very big hand coming towards you, isn't it? Of reaching forward into what we have ahead of us in glory and living in the here and now with that in mind. And he wants us to run. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So let us run with endurance. And we're going to do that by two ways, he says. We've got to lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. I'm going to show you another picture, hopefully. Bear with me on this. Bear with me. It's disappeared from. But you can tell I'm not an expert at these things. But here we go. We're going to share this. This is Lloyd Scott, and I believe this was in 2002. I think this guy's run the London Marathon several times in many ridiculous costumes. This one was in something like about a 75-80 kilogram vintage diving suit, lead boots, and the whole get up. And you can just about read the time at the top there. He did this marathon in 5 days, 8 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds. He had a lot of weight, a lot of things clinging very closely to him. This is what this word, this every weight that there's excess things in our lives that are holding us down that are going to prevent us from running the Christian life. And they can be any number of things which in and of themselves may or may not be good, but they're gonna slow us down. They're gonna make the journey more difficult. And the writer wants us to lay aside those things. And if you consider in your own life, there will be things that we all know of, don't we? That we get involved in, that we think of, that we spend our time and our energies on, that aren't running the Christian life. And the writer says we've got to get rid of them. We're going to go for another screen scene. And we've got a different way of doing things here.
Eliot and Kipchoge, let's keep an eye on the clock into the final 20 seconds. Eliot Kipchoge. Whoa! Got his shoulder. 140. 140, the unofficial
time. There's his wife.
Eliot Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna.
That was Eliot Kipchoge last year running a marathon distance in under 2 hours. And if you compare Eliot Kipchoge with Lloyd Scott, you will see that there was a bit of a difference. He wasn't wearing a diving suit. He had put everything, and a huge team had put everything into the task of him running that marathon in a sub 2 hour time. And they even went to the extent of choosing the perfect course in a park in Vienna that was on the same or very close to the same time zone as where he trained at home. It was resurfaced in different tarmac. The corners were resurfaced and banked. He was wearing ridiculous Nike Vaporfly shoes that gave you a bit of a push as you ran. He had a team of pacemakers, elite athletes themselves. He had a car with a laser line setting the pace. He had people delivering his drinks on a bicycle so that he didn't have to slow down. He laid aside every weight and he was focused on his goal. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to have in mind for us as we run the Christian race. We need to turn away from sin. And this is one of those basic things that we need to hear again and again and again. The Bible sets it out. The Christian life of a double-edged way of doing things. There are things that we need to put off and put away and turn away from. Those things are things like sin and all of the outworkings of that, the things that would distract us from Christ. We need to put them away, to be done with them. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about putting off these things. In fact, putting to death these things. But it's a twofold thing. We don't just turn away from something. The Christian life isn't just turning away from sin. It's not just saying, well, I'm just not going to do these things anymore. That's not enough. We need to lay aside every weight and we need to look to Jesus. So this morning, if you're just doing one of those things, if you're just trying to run the Christian life by just stopping doing a load of things and putting a whole load of things out of the way, that's not enough. We need this morning to look to Jesus. That's fairly basic, isn't it? But yet, it's one of the things that makes the Christian life so hard for us, is that we don't do that. You see, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. The joy of being reunited with his Father and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy of saving a people, us, for himself. And he ran his race and he finished and he succeeded. We need to look to him. We're not going to do this in our own strength. We base our lives upon the fact, not that we can save ourselves just by putting away things, but we need to turn to Christ and look to him and his finished work on the cross, his finished race, which is ours. The Old Testament saints in chapter 11 ran their race by faith. And so must we. We need to recognize the reality of God, the reward he has for us. We need to look away from distractions, whatever they are in your life. You'll know that. Ask God to show them to you more. And look towards Christ. We need to run with endurance. And then secondly, we need to consider him. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Weary, faint-hearted, struggle, resistance, shedding your blood. These are the words that come up in verses 3 and 4 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Christian life is hard, isn't it? We've said that again and again. We need to keep remembering that it's good, but it's hard. And the danger is always that we're gonna find things difficult, and that's gonna lead to becoming faint-hearted. There's a struggle against sin outside and sin inside as well. And the writer gives us a couple of things to help us with that. With a bit of help from one of the commentaries I've been reading, we can split these down into three things to help us consider him. First, in verse 5-6, remember his word. Remember God's word. He says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." And the writer here links some of the difficulties of the Christian life with the discipline of it as well. Now, I want to be careful here. Not every struggle in the Christian life is as a result of doing something wrong and then being, if we want to say, told off by God. That's not the kind of discipline that we're thinking of here. We're thinking of the discipline of training and educating and guiding and steering. And this is what God does in every aspect of our lives. He guides us, he shapes us, he molds us. And we mustn't forget that. Now, sometimes that is in discipline when we have done something wrong, and God graciously points that out to us. And we're not to regard that lightly. Now, as we read God's word, we might find that happening where God graciously points out things to us. And we could respond to that by saying, "Oh, not in a minute, not now. I don't really want to deal with that. Or that's not for me. There's nothing wrong there, God." That would be regarding it lightly. In the difficulties of the Christian life, don't forget God's discipline. It's a grace. He's teaching, he's training, he's guiding us. But don't become weary or lose courage either. That's the other thing. On the one hand, we could ignore what God is saying. On the other hand, we could become weary when reproved by him. Know what it's like as a father to weary my children with my reproval of them. If you're constantly pointing things out, sometimes the reaction is, "Oh, I've had enough. It's too much for me. I'm going to give up." And if you're feeling like that this morning, maybe in the struggles of the Christian life, you're losing courage, the writer says, don't. Again, it's a grace. It's a gift. the difficulties of the Christian life, to make us remember God, to make us see his discipline. And then lastly, don't despair. If you're knowing God's guidance through discipline at the minute, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Remember this word this morning. God loves you. Just looking across at your faces, there's a range of ages, from the young to the not quite so young. God loves you as children. Therefore, he will guide you. He will discipline. Sometimes that's hard. But remember his word. Remember his promises. Don't ignore them. Don't be overburdened by them. Don't despair. You're loved by God. And then secondly, in this considering him and thing, verses 7-9, remember his care for you. You are sons. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. I'm conscious it's Father's Day today. If I just quickly disappear for a moment, and my girls made me this massive card this morning. That's not holding it very close. It actually is that big. You're one in a melon. I like that. Yeah, isn't that lovely? It's Father's Day this morning. I'm conscious that it might be for some of us that the human experience of fatherhood, either from the point of view of being a father or when we think of our own fathers, sometimes that's hard. Some of you might have had very difficult experiences of that. I don't want to ignore that this morning. And the Bible doesn't ignore that either. But it points out to us here the fact that God's discipline, God's teaching, his correction, his guiding is evidence that we are his sons, his children, his heirs. And that's a good thing. He cares for you. We've all known earthly fathers who disciplined us to one extent or another. The passage says we respected them. Again, it might be that you didn't, or you don't, or you can't respect your father for some of the things that have happened. It's not like that with God. You see, our human fathers disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. And we often don't get it right as fathers, as mothers. Often our own parents didn't get things right. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Should we not subject or be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We are God's sons. Remember his care for you this morning. And thirdly, remember his purpose. Remember his word, remember his care, remember his purpose. I've just touched on that. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Sharing his holiness is our good. It's a painful process being made like God, because he shows us where we're not like him, and he deals with that. He brings these things to our mind and our hearts, and he is transforming us by his spirit into the image of Christ, working out his holiness in us, that we might be set apart for him, reflecting more and more of him. That takes time. Bearing fruit takes time. You don't plant an apple tree in the garden and expect fruit on it by the weekend, do you? It takes time. And it takes time in our lives as well. So don't lose heart. Some of us have been walking the Christian life for many, many years and are thinking, oh, I wonder how much progress that I have seen. Don't lose heart, but remember his word, remember his care, remember his purpose. Be subject to it and live. So run with endurance, consider him, and lastly, persistently pursue. you might think that the image of the athletics track has been left in the first few verses of laying aside every weight and running with endurance. But it's a theme that carries on all throughout this chapter. We get at the end of verse 11, the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So just connecting that. So the discipline of God, the correction of God, the guidance of God is training for the athlete, for the spiritual athlete who is running the Christian life. And then as we come into these next verses, 12 to 17, we find about making straight paths for your feet. And again, we've got this image of a straight track, of an athletics track that we're not going to stumble over, but that we're going to run well. Remember, this is the writer's purpose, that we run well. Just like Eliud Kipchoge, when they chose that track, it was in Vienna, and it was almost a straight line, you know, about 4 kilometers down and a roundabout at the end and a straight line back. And they chose it because it was a perfect track for the race. The writer wants us to run the race of the Christian life on a good track. But there's action that's required. Well, the rubber hits the road, as we might say. And again, just three little sub points here. He wants us to strengthen ourselves. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. What do you mean by this? Well, it can't be just a kind of a spiritual pull your socks up and try harder, because the Christian life isn't like that. The Bible doesn't hang everything upon us and say it's about our achievements and our effort. It's not. It's about Christ. We're to look to him, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He earns our salvation. It's not just pulling our socks up. But it's about being exercised, being trained, allowing God to train us. And if any of you do any sports or anything like that, any exercise, whether any of you have been doing the Joe Wicks PE sessions for school, one of my children has been doing that. And actually, Chrissy, my wife, has been, there's been a national program with this guy doing PE lessons for primary school children. And she'll say, exercise is hard. It hurts. But if you're going to strengthen yourselves, if we're going to strengthen ourselves in the Christian life, we need to actually exercise. Muscles get weak, don't they? And they waste away if they're not exercised. And so with the Christian life, if we don't run, we get weak. It gets harder. And the writer says, lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees. And then he says, don't risk. Sorry, I've just got to let my cat in. She's scratching at the door. There we go. You don't get that on a normal sermon, do you? Cats scratching and picking your door apart. But strengthen yourselves and don't risk. He says, and this is interesting, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone. He says, don't risk putting things out of joint, either in your own race or with others. We need to be careful here, but there is a sense. You see, the Christian life is not a solitary race. It's not about one person running a race to glory. It's a team sport. We run together. We fight together, we pursue together. And if one of us falls back, imagine one of those pacemakers with Eliud Kipchoge. If one of them had fallen back, he would have caused the others to be out of step, to be out of sync, to be out of joint. We need to attend to our own race so that we attend to the race of others as well. Be exercised by the discipline of God and be strengthened by it to keep running. Don't run your own course. Don't drop out. But rather, that what is lame may be healed. in you engaging with God's discipline, submitting to it and living and continuing running, it may well be that we can help one of our brothers or sisters in a similar situation. So strengthen yourselves, and then strive for peace with everyone. Peace doesn't come naturally, does it? In a family, in a school, in any group of people, peace doesn't come naturally. It doesn't in our house anyway. You have to work for it. You have to strive towards it. Don't know, as a church at the minute, if I could challenge you with this, where how are you in your peace with each other? How are you in your holiness, in your Christ-likeness? How are you striving for peace, actively working for peace, not just kind of getting along with one another, but pushing constantly towards peace with each other, pushing constantly for holiness? Don't miss this warning here. The holiness without which no one will see the Lord. If we're not holy, if we're not set apart for God, if we're not Christ-like, we won't see him when he comes again. We'll miss out. That's a great klaxon sound of the book of Hebrews. Be careful. Don't miss out on glory. Don't miss out on eternity. Don't convince yourself that just because you put in a little bit of effort here and there, that that's a Christian life. Keep running. Keep persevering. If you don't persevere, you won't get to the end. And lastly, to help us in this, seek the grace of God. Strengthen yourselves, strive for peace, and seek the grace of God. You begin the Christian life by faith, by grace. It's a gift. We exercise faith, and it's given to us as a gift, or it's given to us as a gift, and we exercise it in trust. We begin the Christian life all by grace. But we continue it by grace as well. Often when we hear people's testimonies and they explain how they maybe came to Christ, you hear a lot about that moment when they trusted Christ. You don't necessarily hear so much about today and the now and the continuing and the running the Christian life, because the Christian life isn't just about starting way back then. It's about the here and the now and running towards the there and the then. We need to constantly rely on God's grace. What's going to get you through today and tomorrow? It's not going to be how hard you run. It's going to be God giving you the strength to run. Because you must run. If you stop, you lose the race. If you give up, you're disqualified. How are you going to run? It's by God's grace. Don't be like Esau. Esau was Jacob's brother way back in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob shouldn't have been the one that inherited God's promises. It should have been Esau as the older son. But he swapped his birthright when he was hungry after he came in from hunting one day. And Jacob, who's a little bit devious, as brothers can be, and he said, I've got a bowl of stew here. And Esau was hungry. Oh, can I have some of the stew? And he said, yeah, sure, sell me your birthright. And Esau went, okay. And he had the stew and he ate it and it was done. And he despised God's promises for a moment of instant gratification. Don't do that with the Christian life. Don't throw it all away for a moment of instant gratification. Don't throw it away by falling short, by giving up, by stopping running. As I close, these words about growing weary and faint-hearted, apparently they were used by Aristotle, a philosopher, as he spoke of an athlete who collapses with being weary and exhausted after he crossed the line. So he crossed, just like Eliud Kipchoge did, he crossed the line and he must have been shattered. So the warning here from the writer is not to collapse exhausted or faint-hearted before the end of the Christian life. Don't give up. Don't despise God's discipline. Don't despise his correction. If your faith muscles hurt each day, don't despise that, but be exercised by it. Keep trusting in God. Keep turning away from sin, yes. Keep looking towards Christ. Keep remembering his good, perfect fathership, your sonship in him. And keep pressing on and keep seeking his grace. Let's pray together then. I'll hand back to Malcolm. Father God, thank you that you do not leave us alone in the Christian life. Lord, you are with us. Lord, you have provided a saviour in Christ who ran his race to completion for us. Lord, his race was run for us. Lord, we are saved in him. Lord, we keep going in his strength. We need to keep looking to his sacrifice. Lord, help us not to give up. Lord, you know sometimes that is a very real temptation. But Lord, help us not to despise your guidance, your discipline, but to be trained by it and to help each other and to run together towards Christ-likeness and towards glory. Help us in these things, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.